Well, welcome to our study of Genesis. We are in chapter 24. And chapter 24 records how Isaac got his wife, how God divinely intervened in the selection of his wife, Rebekah's willingness to go to Isaac, and Isaac's love for his wife. So let's start with verse 1. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things.
Well, when we do our math on this, you remember Sarah's just died. Sarah's 127 years old when she died. That would make Abraham 137 when she died because he was 10 years older. Isaac got married when he was 40 years old. So that means he was 37 because he was 100 when Abraham was 100 when Isaac was born.
Mm-hmm.
So that would have made Isaac 37 when his mama died. Now he's 40 when he gets married, so that's 3 years. So Abraham's somewhere around 140 years old here when it says that he was an old man, but don't let that fool you. And it says the Lord had blessed him in every way. He had actually seen God's promise come to pass.
Mm-hmm. Verses 2 through 4. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray you, your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, and you shall not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of Canaanites, among whom I dwell, but you shall go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac.
Well, when you look at this, it's interesting because God has sent Abraham out of his home country and to go walk this land that we know today as the Canaan land. The Canaanite lived in the land with all the ites. Okay. And we know that Abraham had interacted with them, like with the sons of Heth. They were Hittites, and he had bought property from them, so they had an excellent relationship. But when it comes down to his son getting married, he says, I do not want him marrying a Canaanite. Now, why would that be? Is he prejudiced? It's not that at all. The fact is, he knows what God has told him, and he knows that they're going to be the possessors, the Israelite. In other words, he's going to grow into a great nation. They're going to possess that, and he's not going to mingle seed. Okay? And that's the bottom line. So he calls this servant of his, and he says, I want you to swear by the Lord that you'll not allow my son to marry a Canaanite woman. You go to my relatives, and you take a wife for my son and my relatives. Okay, so we don't have a mixed seed. Okay?
And the servant said unto him, Preadventure, the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I need bring your son again unto the land from which you came? And Abraham said unto him, Beware that you bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spoke unto me, that swore unto me, saying, Unto your seed I will give this land. He shall send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife unto my son from thence.
So this servant, you know, is concerned. You're telling me to go find a wife for your son from your relatives, and so what if I go in there and they don't give me a wife? You want me to take your son? My phrase of that is absolutely not. You do not take my son back to the land that God told me to leave. No looking back. You understand? And you think about that from a spiritual perspective as a principle in this. When you come out of sin, you don't look back. You follow me? And so he says, no. He says, you know, my paraphrase again, God's been faithful, God's blessed me, God's going to provide a wife. And so you go there and get a wife, and if they won't let her go, then I'll release you of the covenant or the oath. But the bottom line is, Abraham knows that he's going to go get a wife.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Verse 9. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master and swore to him concerning the matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor.
Now I don't understand all that goes on with this. It's just, it was a cultural thing, obviously. But when he swore, when he took an oath, it was a custom to put the hand under the thigh. And I can't give you a lot of detail to that, other than that was the seal that you had made the covenant. And so he sticks his hand under Abraham's thigh to seal this covenant agreement. Now, you understand that this servant is over all of Abraham's stuff, all over his household. And so he takes 10 camels. Now, that'd be something to remember in the future, okay? He takes 10 camels loaded with some servants with him that are obviously under this servant. He's the chief of the servant. And then he takes them to go in to Mesopotamia, to Nahor, Abraham's brother, to look for a wife for Isaac.
And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water.
That's just a rest position for the camels where they made their journey. Now they're kneeling beside the well, which is indicating they need some water, okay? And it's in the evening, and that's the time that the women come out to the well to draw water.
And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray you, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down your pitcher, I pray you, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give you your camel's drink also. Let the same be she that you have appointed for your servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that you have shown kindness unto my master.
Now, it appears that this servant's been trained well by Abraham.
Yeah.
What's the first thing he does? He's not out looking. What's he doing? He's praying.
Mm-hmm.
And so he just prays to the God of Abraham and asks to show kindness to Abraham. And then he puts this out. Now, this is how I'll know the right woman. In other words, I don't have the natural ability to do this, so I need supernatural ability. You know who Isaac needs. So, when a woman come, I'm going to ask for a drink of water. And the one who gives me the drink of water then says, I'll water your camels also. Then I'll know that that's the one you've chosen for Isaac. Now, he has 10 camels. I want you to think about that. Okay?
Okay. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder.
So, even before this servant ends his prayer, Rebekah, who's the daughter of Bethuel, and that would be Abraham's nephew, it's his brother's son, he was the son of Nahor and Milcah, came to the well with a pitcher on her shoulder. So she's there to get water, obviously, okay?
And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her, and she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up.
I think it's interesting that that this woman is obviously a virgin, but the interesting thing is she's very beautiful, and she goes down the well, fills a pitcher, and comes back up.
And the servant ran to meet her and said, "Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher." And she said, "Drink, my lord." And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, "I will draw water for your camels also until they are done drinking." And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again into the well to draw water and drew for all his camels.
Now you think about this. This woman is playing this out just exactly like the servant had prayed, right? "I will water your camels." He has 10. And I was looking at this, and a camel can drink up like 20 gallons of water. Now multiply that times 10. This girl is not lazy, you understand. If she's going to draw, let's say, 200 gallons of water or whatever, regardless of whether they drink 10 gallons or 20 gallons, that's still a lot of water for this girl to draw, and she probably, her pitcher's probably not holding any more than 5 gallons, so that's a lot of trips to the well, from the well to the trough, you understand. And so, you know, for someone to volunteer to do that, that's pretty remarkable, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
"I'll let you borrow my pitcher." No, she says, "I will water your camels." Mm-hmm. Okay?
And the man, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not.
Isn't it interesting? So often we pray, God answer our prayer, and we're amazed.
Yeah.
But God never ceases to amaze me at his love and his concern for us. But, I mean, before the man is finished praying, his answer is right there. He's got the right one. And so he's just absolutely amazed how quickly God has answered his prayer.
And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and 2 bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold and said, "Whose daughter are you? Tell me, I pray you, is there room in your father's house for us to lodge in?"
So, after the camels finished drinking, the servant gives the girl a gold ring, weighed about a half shekel, and he gave her some arm bracelets that weighed 10 shekels, and then he gives these to this young woman, and he asks her the name of her father, and if there was room at her father's house for him to lodge. In other words, "I need a place to stay."
And she said unto him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bore unto Nahor." And she said moreover unto him, "We have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in."
See, up to this point, the servant doesn't know who this girl is. And so when he asks her who her father is, and she tells him, And she assures him that there's lodging available for him. Here again, it's an amazing thing for him, okay? She's the daughter of Bethuel.
And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren."
So when he hears this, what's the first thing he does? He bows and worships the Lord. Gives thanks to his master Abraham's God. Now I want to show you something. I'm going to put this little side thought in. He bowed and worshiped the Lord. Worshiped the Lord. Without a band. Without a choir. You follow me? Today we think worship is singing and music. No, worship is a heart thing. It's a gratitude. It's coming out of the heart. This man bows himself before the Lord, worshiping God for who he is and what he's done for him, that he hasn't forgotten Abraham, and he's showing mercy. And he said, "You've led me right straight to my master's relatives. Thank you." Right? Okay.
You appreciate him being the example of every step of the way he was looking to the Lord. Lord, help me with this. He had the desire to fulfill the mission, but he knew he needed help to fulfill the mission. You've been in the same position too, haven't you? The Lord's given you've been given an assignment, but you need help fulfilling that assignment. Which way do I go? How do I do it? And that's what this servant is doing. But you know, Abraham said before he even left out on the journey, "Now the Lord's going to be with you. He'll be with you when you go." And so the confidence, I believe, in this servant that the Lord would be there was, he had that confidence. He had certainly seen example after example in Abraham of confidence in the Lord, right? Verse 28, we're going to read 28 through 30. "And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out unto the man, unto the well. And it came to pass, when he saw the earring and bracelets upon his sister's hands, and when he heard the words of Rebekah's sister saying, 'Thus spoke the man unto me,' that he came unto the man and beheld, he stood by the camels at the well."
Rebekah evidently got pretty excited. She rushes home and tells her family what's happened. And when her brother Laban hears what just took place with between Rebekah and this servant, and he saw the ring and the bracelets, he ran to the well where Rebekah had left the man. And, of course, the servant was still there with his camels, letting the thing play out, you understand.
And he said, "Come in, you blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest you without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels." And the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels and gave straw and provender for the camels and water to wash his feet and the men's feet that were with him.
So Laban tells the man, the servant, to come stay with us, or to stay with him. He called him, "You blessed of the Lord." "And don't stay outside the city," said, I've prepared a place for you and your camels." And so the servant accepts Laban's invitation. He goes home with him. He unloads the camels. Straw was given to him to feed the camels, and water was provided for the men, with him to wash their feet. So Laban is really showing tremendous hospitality, to the servant. This servant God has this thing orchestrated, right place, right time, doing the right thing the right way. And it works. Okay?
And there was set meat before him to eat, but he said, I will not eat until I have told my errand. And he said, speak on.
Now you're talking about a dedicated servant. No doubt in their travel they're hungry, you understand? I mean, it's late in the evening, it's time to eat, and food's brought for them. But he says, no, I'm not eating until I tell you the purpose for my journey. And so he has one thing on his mind. It's not himself. It's obeying his master. You understand? Okay.
And he said, I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord has blessed my master greatly. And he has become great, and he has given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses.
So the first thing the servant does is tells them about Abraham being his master and reveals to them how God has blessed Abraham, and he gives detail, flocks, cattle, camels, donkeys, silver, gold, male and female servants. In other words, he's setting this stage up, you know, that this guy has provision, and he sent me here. And I'm going to tell you why he sent me here.
And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old, and unto him he has given all that he has.
341.
Okay.
Okay.
And my master made me swear, saying, you shall not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I dwell, but you shall go unto my father's house and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son. And I said unto my master, peradventure the woman will not follow me. And he said to me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with you, and will prosper your way, and you shall take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house.
So the servant goes into detail, telling them the oath that he's taken with Abraham, his master, and that how he's the conversation that he had with Abraham. And so what he's saying is, I've come to get a wife. Now, if she won't go with me, I'll be released from this oath. But I'm under oath to get a wife for Abraham's son, Isaac, we know, okay? And so now he's stating his mission. I came to your house to get a wife for my master's son.
42. And I came this day unto the well, and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if now you do prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin comes forth to draw water, and I say to her, give me, I pray you, a little water of your pitcher to drink, and she say to me, both drink you, and I will also draw for your camels. Let the same be the woman whom the Lord has appointed out for my master's son.
So the servant tells them about the prayer that he's prayed and how the Lord has answered his prayer, and in Rebekah's response to him when he asked for the water for himself and for his camel, or she volunteered to give water to his camels. And then the Rebekah was given the ring, the bracelets, after she had done according to the servant's request. I mean, he goes into detail, and he learned whose daughter she was, and he just unashamedly told them that when his prayer was answered, he just bowed down and worshiped God for leading him to his master's relatives. I mean, he's not bashful about this, you understand. He lays it all out on the line. This is the way it unfolded. And I mean, I just worshiped God because he just had me at the right place.
Verse 49. And now if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. If not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left hand.
So, after Laban and Bethuel agree to give Rebekah to Isaac, the servant gives Rebekah silver, gold, jewelry, beautiful clothing, and he also gave valuable gifts to her mother and brother. Then they ate. And the servants and those with them spent the night with Laban and Bethuel. So, this guy's focused. He gets everything taken care of before he thinks about himself. Once everything's taken care of, now he can eat and sleep, okay?
Okay. Verse
54.
And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, send me away unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that she shall go. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away, that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth.
So you can see this servant's not on a vacation. This man is focused. In other words, I came here on a mission. They've agreed to it. Now I'm getting right back to my master. I've fulfilled my purpose. I got to bring her back now. Okay? They, you know, they're saying, well, you know, hang around. Let's not just rush this matter. And he's saying, you know, God's directed this thing. He's orchestrated all this. And so there's no need to delay. You know, I need to get her back. They said, all right, we'll call her and see what she has to say about this.
And they called Rebekah and said unto her, will you go with this man? And she said, I will go.
No. That's just like God, isn't it? She's dealing with her heart. You think about this. She's never seen these people in her life. She's young. You know, they come and they say, we want you to be the wife of a guy she's never seen. I'm going on this journey with people she's never seen. And she says, I'll go. You know, if it had done the way mom and brother wanted, she'd have been there 10 more days. It'd have been delayed. But she's not wanting the 10 days. She's not saying, well, let me kiss mom and daddy bye and all this. No, she is willing to respond because I believe she knows God's hand's in it.
And they sent away Rebekah their sister and her nurse and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, you are our sister. Be you the mother of thousands of millions, and let your seed possess the gate of those which hate you.
So Rebekah, who's Laban's sister, she's released to go with Abraham's servant and this company to be Isaac's wife. And with her, they sent a nursemaid, and you can learn from Genesis 35:8 that this was probably Deborah, was that maiden's name. Okay? Now, it would have been a servant to Rebekah.
Mm-hmm. And I read the blessing, and then, so they blessed her saying, you be the mother of thousands and millions, and let your seed possess the gate of those which hate you. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way.
Now, they probably don't even realize what they're doing, but they're speaking right in agreement with God's blessing on Abraham. They said, "You're our sister. Look at this. Become the mother of thousands of myriads." In other words, an innumerable people. "And may your descendants possess the gates of your enemies." This is Abraham's blessing, you understand. And so after this blessing, Rebekah and her nursemaid mounted the camels and they went with Abraham's servants.
Okay. "And Isaac came from the way at the well of Lahairoi, for he had dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming."
So when Rebecca looked up, they got near, she looked up, she saw Isaac, and she dismounted the camel and asked the servant, "Who's this man in the field coming to meet us?" I think she probably had an anticipation. And the servant said, "It's my master." And when he revealed the man's identity, Rebekah took her veil and covered her face, which was a custom of being under authority. In other words, she's showing that she is submitting herself to Isaac to be her husband or to be her head. Okay?
Verse 66, "And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done, and Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death."
So the servant told Isaac all that had occurred, and afterwards Isaac brought Rebekah to the tent of his mother. This is the marriage ceremony, the consummation, if you will. And she became his wife, and he says he loved her. And Isaac was consoled after his mother's death. Now we know from Genesis 25:20 that Isaac was 40 years old when he married her. Okay? Now, with all that said, this 24th chapter of Genesis, to me, is an extremely powerful chapter with principle. It is laying out, to me, a symbolism of what we should do. It's a principle. It's showing Abraham representing Father God. The servant, who was probably Eliezer, the servant representing the Holy Spirit. Rebecca representing the bride. And obviously Isaac being the groom. So Abraham's representing Father God, Isaac the son Jesus, the Rebekah the bride. And so the Father sends the Holy Spirit to search out a bride for his son. That's the principle I see in this, okay? But I also see that if we would follow this principle in our natural lives, we would have much fewer problems. If instead of looking for ourselves and go window shopping and all this type stuff or internet shopping this day and time, if you just pray to God and let the Spirit of God seek out that woman, if you're not married and you want to, let God pick the bride. Let God pick the husband. Let God pick the business partner. Look to the Holy Spirit. Let him search it out, you understand. And then if you'll do that, he'll have you at the right place, at the right time, doing the right thing, and you will see the supernatural power of God working in your behalf. But how many people do that? No, they select for themselves rather than let the Spirit of God make the selection. And that's why we get ourselves in trouble. You understand? But to me, there's a powerful principle. And I can tell you, God is seeking out the bride by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit just leads that church to union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Okay?
You're going to have a test question on that. The question is, chapter 24 reveals a principle for seeking a bride that even God himself is following. And your answer is bride. Chapter 24 reveals a principle for seeking a bride that even God himself is following.
We have the example. We just need to follow the example. Amen. I've seen that happen in this college, that God brought the people, and it came as a result of just crying out to God, I don't know what I need, you know what I need. And the Lord had just divinely orchestrated things. The principle works. Amen. All right, we'll stop here. It's time to take a break, and we'll pick back up after the break with chapter 25.